Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, verse 24, reading verse 1 and 2. "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, Go number Israel and Judah, or take a census of Israel and Judah. For the king had said unto Joab, the captain of the host which was with him, Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number the people, that I may know the number of the people." Heavenly Father, please help us today as we study the Word of God. Lord, I know that the Bible is the answer. I know that the gospel is the answer. And you chose the foolishness of preaching to win the lost. And I know that Jesus Christ is able to bind up the wounds, to heal the hurts, to deliver from addiction, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He is able. I know that Jesus Christ is able, no matter what situation we happen to find ourselves in. Lord, please speak to the people today. Please minister to their hearts. Please comfort them. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to begin a new series entitled, The Altar. I want to study from the Word of God, and mainly from the Old Testament, what an altar is, what it was used for, which one of the Old Testament saints had it in his heart to build an altar to God, etc. But today I want to take a look at this chapter. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to it. David had it in his heart to take a census of the nation of Israel, and probably what his reasoning was, he wanted to know how many people there were that were able to go to war, that were able to take up a sword or a spear, or had a chariot, or something of that nature. How big the army was in case that they were attacked or something of that nature. And as we read, this was not God's plan. And in fact, there were those that said, "Hey, David, this is not a good idea. This is something you shouldn't do." But David went ahead and held his census. And it took 9 months, it said, in verse 9. But this was a sin in the eyes of God, and we'll get to that as to why that's a sin later. But this is, I believe, one of only two times that David blew it. You know, we all blow it. We all make stupid mistakes. We all fall into sin at times. Perhaps you remember the time that he had an affair with Bathsheba. And when it was found out, he had her husband Uriah killed. Obviously, murder, adultery and murder, are great sins. And he caused a reproach to come upon Israel, and it affected his reputation. It caused a lot of problems in his family for the rest of his life and for later on. His sons and what have you, they were also affected. But in this case, David took his census, and God judged the nation of Israel because of his sin, and 70,000 people died in a short matter of 3 days. And you need to read both Kings and Chronicles and maybe even something in the Psalms to get the whole backstory. But you say, why was this wrong? Why is it wrong to take a census? You know, it's 2020 as I record this. And they're going to start knocking on doors and sending questionnaires. It's in our Constitution that there be a decadal census taken. And that's fine. That's the law. That's fine. But in David's case, in Israel's case, the problem is that over and over again, the Bible tells us to not trust in our flesh, not trust in our abilities, or in this case, David's armies, to not depend upon ourselves, but to depend upon God. And we will find again and again and again in Scripture, in the Old Testament, what have you, that when God's people trusted in God, they won every battle that they were ever in. And when they instead say, hey, we can do it ourselves, then they were defeated time and time again. And that's the message throughout the entire Bible, that we should trust in God, His ways, His methods. You know, God chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise and to win the lost. And remember the Great Commission, that's our job here as Christians. That's our job here as the church that Jesus established, is to win souls. And he that winneth souls is wise. And it's even more wise to try to do it God's way. We know what worked in the past. We know what worked over centuries. But today, unfortunately, we've got the seeker-sensitive methods, the purpose-driven methodologies. We rely on marketing and Barna's surveys. Instead of believing the book, just believing it. And asking God, please, Lord, help us to preach it and to stand on our hind legs and to preach the Word of God. Well, we don't hardly do that anymore. We've thrown out all the old hymns, all the old choruses that we had. We've thrown them out. And now we've got 7-11 choruses. Got 7 words and we sing it 11 times. There's no theology in any of the new music. We've lost our way. We're depending on Saul's armor and not the victories that he had previously shown us when David killed that lion and that bear. We need to repent. Get back to the old paths, the old methods. And God will help us again to win lost souls. But getting back to our text, it says in verse 8 through 10 that they went all through the land of Israel, took 9 months, almost 10 months. And Joab gave the number of the sum of the people unto the king in verse 9. And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. But it says right away after David heard the report that his heart smote him. He knew in his heart that he had done wrong in taking the census and counting up the number of people that were able to go to war. Again, he trusted in numbers instead of trusting in God. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly. I've sinned greatly in that which I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity or the sin of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. You see, sin has to be addressed. 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, or if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, we have to admit sin, and we have to confess it, and we have to ask God to remove it. And you know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And of course, Psalm 51, I won't read it, but it's David's great prayer of repentance when he got caught up with that Bathsheba thing. The Holy Spirit showed David that he had made a mistake, that he had committed sin. You see, conviction of sin, when the Holy Spirit shows you you've done wrong, that's something that we need. But you might ask, why was he convicted now? And why not when he decided, 10 months previously, why didn't he realize he was wrong then? Why wasn't he convicted by the Lord then? James 1, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But you see, the Holy Spirit will warn you before you commit sin if you walk close to Him. And David was warned in verse 3 and 4. And Joab said to the king, now the Lord add unto the people, howsoever many they be, 100-fold. However many people there are, let's double it. Let's make it even 100 times as many. But David, you don't have to do this thing. And why are you so set on it? Joab said. Notwithstanding, verse 4, the king's word prevailed against Joab, and they went ahead and did what the king said. He was warned ahead of time, but he ignored those warnings. Again, the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will send conviction. He will guide you. Isaiah 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. He'll try to warn you before you commit sin. He'll convict you while you're doing it, and after it's done, you'll be filled with sorrow. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. How was I so stupid? And I don't know how many times I've prayed that prayer. But David knew he had blown it. He knew he had committed sin in failing to trust in God and trusting in His power and the power of His army. Verse 11, for when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, David's prophet, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose one of them, that I may do it unto thee. That's amazing. That's amazing. David had created a great offense. But because of God's respect for David, instead of just judging him or punishing him, he sent the man of God and said, I have to punish you. All sin has to be judged. But I'm going to give you a choice. 1, 2, 3. Pick one, that I may do it unto thee. It's amazing that God would respect David so much to give him a warning of what was to come and to let him choose his own punishment. You remember John 3:16. Sin must be addressed. It's impossible that God would just say, well, I understand you broke the commandments or what have you. Just don't worry about it. It's impossible for God to just do that, to sweep sin aside or sweep it under the rug. To get rid of sin, He couldn't just speak forgiveness or snap His fingers or wink or something like that. It cost the life of God's Son. It cost the life of God's Son, and His Son, Jesus, had to hang and bleed and die on the cross. Oh, we get the unspeakable gift of salvation and life and forgiveness and blessing and the favor of God. We get all of that. But it costs the death of God's Son. Never forget that. Never forget that. But it says that Gad came to David and told him and said unto them, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or will you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you, while they chase after you, pursue you? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now, tell me which punishment you want God to send to you. And it's interesting, the response in verse 14. He said, I'm in a great strait. I don't know what to do. I know I sinned. I know I blew it. But I don't know what to do. And he said, let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. Which was a choice, and it wasn't. The prophet said choose, and he did, but he didn't. But what he did say, he was tired of trusting in flesh. He was tired of trusting in his ability even to make a decision. But he just knew that he wanted to fall into the hand of God, for his mercies are great, it says. We know the song, we sing the song, or we used to sing the song, that his mercies are great and new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We used to sing it. We used to sing songs like that, and I miss them. But let's put ourselves in the hand of God, for his mercies are great. I know we have to suffer punishment, but God is merciful. But let me not fall into the hand of man. I'll take whatever God gives, but I'm through trusting in man. But let's look at those choices. 7 years famine. You know, that makes me immediately think of the time of Joseph down in Egypt. He had the dream or what have you. He had understanding from God that he needed to prepare for 7 years because there was a 7 year famine coming. 7 years of famine. Again, we've seen that before. Or to be chased by your enemies for 3 months. Again, David had already endured that. David had already been through that. He was chased and he found refuge in the cave of Adullam. And there are psalms that reference that. Or 3 days pestilence and plague. When you look at the whole scenario, that's a type of Calvary. And you say, what's a pestilence or a plague? I said, you know, the Wu flu is like that. This pandemic is like a pestilence. Whether it's going to be bad or whether it's going to blow over. But it's affecting the whole world and now the United States. And people will die because of it and we're all afraid. And we watch too much television, in my opinion. Turn that thing off, you'll be less afraid. But these choices that God gave to David, choose one that I may do it unto thee. Punishment for his sin. Judgment for his sin. And while no one wants judgment, no one wants to think of a God that's angry at sin. Isn't God love and what have you? Doesn't God forgive? Yes, God is love. God forgives. But if you sow wild oats, they're going to come up. If you sow to the flesh, the apostle said, you'll reap corruption. and death. But if you sow to the Spirit, I believe it was Paul that said it, you'll have life, you'll have blessing. Again, all sin has to be judged, whether here on the earth or at the great judgment, the great white throne, what have you. You're going to have to answer for your sin. And the best thing you can do is say, but Jesus died for me, Lord. Please have his death be applied to my account. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I want to live right for you. That's the best thing you can do. But know this, your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. But in verse 15 it says, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed 3 days. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. God did choose. That's the judgment that God chose. Not 7 years famine, not 3 months for David to be chased around the country, but 3 days pestilence. And at the end of 3 days, 70,000 men had died. And I'm running out of time. We'll pick it up here at verse 15 next week.
kings and all the things of this life could not fill the void and heal the